Let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter 1, the very first chapter of the book of Psalm, and we are going to read the first 3 verses. Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does, prospers. May God bless the reading from his holy word. Please take your seats. So good morning once again. I want you to relax, right? And please tell the person next to you, are you ready? Are you ready to receive God's word? Amen. Now we continue with our study, our theme for this year, Rooted. That is the theme of Bradford Church for the year 2024. Because we envision our church and our lives to be stable, to be strong, to be sustained by God. And that means we have to be rooted. That our lives are rooted, our families are rooted, our church is rooted in Christ and in His Word. And you know, when we are rooted, we are ready to face challenges. Amen? You are not terrified with whatever life can bring because we know we are grounded on the right foundation. Now, the title of our message today, the distinctive of a rooted life. What you mean by distinctive? A characteristic, you know, of a person or a thing that so serves to distinguish that person from everybody else. Right? If you remember our lesson last Sunday, the features of a rooted life. And can you still remember what are the 3 features according to Psalms 92? What are the features of a person that is rooted in Christ? Number one, you are flourishing. All right, can you look at the person once again? Is that person flourishing? Oh, diba we say, you're so blooming. You're flourishing. Right? And the Christian must be flourishing. See? You're outward appearance reflects what's going on inside. Amen? You don't try to pretend. You simply live the joyful life because in His presence, remember, there is fullness of joy. You're thriving. And then you are not only flourishing, but you are being, what? Fitted into the house of God. You are part. You belong to the family of God. And praise the Lord that we are not strangers. We are not outsiders, but we call ourselves part and of the family of God. Amen? We call each other nanay, tatay, sister, brother, kuya, ate, mommy, daddy. Why? Because we are family. And then the 3rd feature that we studied last week, still fruitful. Amen? In old age. Now just look at this, our seniors here. Aren't they flourishing? Amen? We're so blessed that our senior citizens are not retired. They are not tired. They're always on the go serving the Lord. And they are not just going around. They are not just singing and dancing. They're doing so many things. And we just look forward to whatever they will be surprising us in the coming Sundays. All right? So we are rooted in Christ. Now we talk about our distinctives. Right? And this morning, we turn to Psalm chapter 1, the very beginning of the book of Psalm. And this psalm is actually a psalm that starts with a beatitude. You're familiar with the beatitude. In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gave us the beatitude from the word blessed. Why? Because the theme of the psalm is this: a blessed person is rooted in Christ through God's word. That's the simple theme of this psalm. This is a very short psalm, but we are going to study just the three verses. And we will see here the blessedness. And we all love to be blessed, right? I mean, we all want God's blessings. Amen? We want to be blessed. In fact, we have a song, a favorite song many years ago. We say, I'm blessed and I know that I am because Jesus took control of my life. All right? We want to be blessed, but how can a man be blessed? Now, here's a good chapter to study. In fact, the first three verses tells us the three specific distinctives of a blessed man. That a blessed man is the man who is rooted in Christ. And how are we rooted in Christ? We are rooted in Christ through His Word because we know Christ through His Word. In fact, the Bible tells us that Jesus is the Word. The Word that was with God in the beginning. The Word who is God. The Word who became flesh. And here, once again, we follow our metaphor of a tree. The blessed man is seen as a tree planted beside the stream of water. That's the blessed man. So let's begin our study with the first word, blessed. That word blessed, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of sinners, or sit in the seat of mockers. So here, in the first three verses, the psalmist describes to us the three distinctives of what it means to be a blessed man. But first, let's try to define the word blessed. Blessed. I know there are some people whose name is Blessed. You know, I think one of our choir members, his name is Blessing. And our worship leader in the Vesper service, his name is Blessed. No, Blessed. Then the word blessed comes from the Hebrew word Esher. Right? And Esher has the idea of happiness and contentment. The Greek form of that is Makarios. Alright? Blessed. Okay? So, kanang mga tao diya nga makimaki angan, Makarios na sila. But that's not me. I'm not Makar. You know, my real name is as far as the east is from the west. Okay? Nothing to do with Maki. But Makarios, if your name is Makarios, you are blessed. That's the meaning of the word. But then that word Esher is simply a derivative of the root word Asher. And Asher, if you remember, is one of the sons of Jacob. Remember Asher? Now, the word Asher literally means to be straight or to be right. So that's the literal sense. So sometimes we wonder, how come the word Esher means happiness or contentment when its root meaning means to be straight or to be right. Well, the idea here, brethren, in the Bible is that blessed people are the people who are happy and contentment because they're following straight the direction of God in their lives. In other words, happiness and contentment is simply the overflow, the result, the consequence when we are living and we are walking our lives in a straight manner following the Lord. So that's the idea in the Hebrew sense. For them, the person who is really happy and contentment is the person who is in the right way following the direction, the path of the Lord. Now, it says here, blessed is the man. It doesn't say blessed is the king, or blessed are the rich, or blessed are the, you know, the wise, or blessed are the scholars. No. In fact, the Bible says, blessed is the man. Now, the word man there is just the general term for any person. Meaning to say, friends, blessedness is available for anyone. This is not just for the rich. It's not just for the learned. It is not just for those people who are, you know, in the royalty. No. In the Bible, the very first verse of Psalm chapter 1 says, blessed is the man that opens the way for any person to experience blessedness. And by the way, for your information, the word blessed here is in the plural in Hebrew. So we're talking here of overflowing blessings available to a man. And so the next question, if yes, I'm a person, I want to have that blessings, but the question is, how? What are some of the distinctives of a blessed man? What are the obvious distinctives of a blessed man who is rooted in Christ? And that's where we take our three main lessons this morning. Are you ready? So, what is the distinctive? I want to be that man, Lord. I want to be that person who is receiving multiple blessings from you. Now, here's the first one. A rooted person distances from the wicked. A rooted person distances. You know, the first distinctive is that the rooted man does not do certain things. All right? You don't do certain things. All right? Notice again verse 1. Blessed is the man who does not. So the very first thing, the very first distinctive of a person that God wants to bless is a person who does not do certain things. All right? And I want you to see here the progression of what is that thing that we, or things that we should not be doing. All right? Notice here the progression. You know, the verbs walk, stand, seat. Counsel, way, seat, wicked, sinners, mockers. Blessed is the man who does not first walk in the counsel of the wicked. That's the first. Or stand in the way of sinners. Or sit in the seat of mockers. So again, I want you to see here the progression, brethren, of corruption. You see, you don't become a monster overnight. You don't become a disciple of the devil overnight. It starts very slow. And that is what the psalmist wants us to see. All right? You don't become a wicked person overnight. It takes a slow journey. All right? It starts when you stroll with the wicked. You walk. You know, the word there is literally walk. All right? And then sooner, you're not just walking with them. Sooner, you're beginning to stand with them. In other words, you are now spending more time, all right? You are now hanging out with them. And then, if you don't do anything, you would one day realize that you are now sitting with them, all right? So these are actually three progressions, downward progressions on how you can become unblessed. The opposite of a blessed. All right? So, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, the Bible reminds us, do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. All right? And we know this in practice, you see? One rotten tomato can what? Or one rotten apple or whatever, mango, it can spoil the whole box of fruit, right? And it's not the reverse. See? You cannot have a box of rotten apples and then get one good, healthy apple. You cannot reverse it. It's always the corruption that takes place. So that is why the first thing that the Christian must do in order for us to be blessed is this. He doesn't believe like the wicked. It starts with believing. It starts with our mind. Again, notice what the Bible says. Blessed is the man who does not walk what? In the counsel of the wicked. The word counsel there literally means advice, words. See? It starts with listening. You know, how many of our young people are being discipled to false teachings? Simply because these children are constantly listening to YouTube, to some videos. And a lot of times, A lot of parents are surprised that the cute little babies that they are raising in their homes one day become serpent and dragon. And they say, naramanutan na siya sa balay. Because we are allowing the devil to disciple our kids, giving them more time, giving them the freedom, and just all sorts of false teachings, demonic teachings, are coming into their brains so that one day you realize they are now believing what these false teachers are saying. See? And that's what the Bible is saying. The blessed man, the rooted person, does not walk in the counsel, in the advice. They don't listen. In other words, a rooted person never believes what the wicked teaches. So we have to protect our brains, brethren. So the question is, if not from these false teachings in the world, where should we find good counsel? Well, the Bible answers. Psalm 119, verse 24, the Bible says, your statutes are my delight. They are what? They are my counselors. Brethren, God's word is always the best counselor. That is why in our church, the counseling method we are using, we call it biblical counseling. We don't use ungodly, secular philosophy because we believe that the word of God is enough. Amen? That the word of God is already complete. You see, you don't have to add Darwinism or kinsa pa ng mga you know, secular, you know, psychologists in order for our counseling to be effective. You know, they may sound very scientific, they may sound very professional, but I tell you, it is the word that heals the soul. Where do we get our counsel? From the word of God. Now, second, remember, this is a progression. So it starts with walking with their counsel, listening. It starts with their advice. Soon, those advice became what? The believing becomes a behaving. The blessed man, the rooted person, doesn't behave like the wicked. See? It starts with, you know, hang out once in a while, but then those once in a while becomes occasional. And now what happens? This person who starts from simply listening with the counsel of the wicked, now this person finds himself already standing in the way of sinners. So you are now standing with them. You are now joining them. So be careful, brethren, the person and the places you are hanging out. See? You have to ask yourself, well, I'm not saying that when you're a Christian, you should not have, you know, unbelieving friends. No, I'm not saying. What I'm saying is this. If you're a true follower of Christ, if you want to please the Lord in your life, look at how often, how long you're standing with unbelievers. It's good when your intention, listen, if your intention in standing with them is to bring them to church, to bring them to Christ, then that's good. But be wise. Because you don't know you're the ones being discipled by them. See? So be careful. All right? According to our Lord Jesus Christ, the way that leads, remember, what's the meaning of blessedness? It means a straight path. Jesus warned us in Matthew 7:13, enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Notice what Jesus says, many are going to that path. See? So don't stand, don't linger anymore in the path of the sinners. Because you are being warned. Jesus already told us, this broad path, this broad way is not leading to some joyful eternity someday. Jesus is saying that leads to destruction, and many are going by it. Many are going by it. Friends, it's okay if your path is the less traveled path. It's okay if the path you are taking is narrow. As long as you are with Jesus in that narrow path, you are with few Christian company, it doesn't matter if you don't enjoy the world with the rest of your friends. Because your narrow path today brings you to the wide and vast heaven someday. Amen? And third, see? So remember again the progression. First, he doesn't believe. He doesn't behave. Third, he doesn't belong to the wicked. You don't belong there. All right? That's why when some of my disciples, you know, are hanging out and they are in places. Now, I'm not saying that, you know, you suddenly go to hell if you enter some of these bars and clubs. You know, I mean, maybe occasionally you might find me there. But in case you find me there, don't judge me. Okay? But it's different when you find Pastor Maki almost on a weekly basis there. And you say, you know, I just go there occasionally. Occasional raman akong pagbasa, ak pag-adto. Pero what happened is that every day dunay occasion. See? And so, it's so easy for you to become like them because that's what the Bible says. First, you walk in the counsel of the wicked, in your belief system, the advice. Then you stand with them in the way. Now, you sit in the seat of mockers. In other words, you associate now yourself with these people. And you have to understand, sinners, the unbelievers, are very contagious, very influential. Soon, their words are your words. The way they wear their dress, that's your fashion. And so easy, it's so subtle that you won't even notice it. Until, you know, a Christian friend tells you, you know what? You are no longer who you used to be. You're acting like the rest of your friends. And you know that you are there. Why? Because you become critical. I am not. You're judgmental. You're self-righteous. Monay signs. Kung critical na gani ka, i-correct na gani ka, and then you suddenly react. Because a real person who is still rooted in Christ, when a Christian friend tells you, you don't easily get offended. You reflect. You know what? Thank you so much for reminding me. Maybe I'm on that path. Maybe I don't know. I've been blinded. I'm already seated with them. All right? But that's the important distinctive of a person who is blessed by the Lord. You don't walk with them. You don't stand with them, and you don't sit with them. See? What does the Bible say in the New Testament? 2 Corinthians 6:14. Do not be yoked together with unbelievers. For what do righteousness and wickedness have in common? And it's so easy for us to justify the scripture. We're saying, Pastor, my intention is to win them. Sure, kriha. Win good? Are you sure? See? Next, it starts with don't yoke together now. What fellowship can light have with darkness? These are all, what? You know, what you call these kinds of questions? Forgot the word. Rhetorical questions with an obvious answer. What's the answer? No. Is there fellowship with light and darkness? The obvious answer is no. What harmony is there between Christ and Belial? Belial, or the other name for Satan. Or what does a believer have in common with an unbeliever? The answer is none. See? What agreement is there between the temple of God, that's the church, us, and idols? For we are the temple of the living God. See? The obvious answer is there is none. See? You have no fellowship. There is nothing in them and you that is in common. All right? And so, what is the command of the Lord? As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them and I will be their God and they will be my people. So, God is saying, if you are truly my people, then you belong to me. I am your happiness. I am your barkada. I am your friends. I am your associate. And then there's a therefore, and this is the most important part. Therefore, this is what God said. Come out from them and be what? Be separate, says the Lord. See that? So, a lot of Christians who don't know these verses think that, you know what? It's okay to hang out with unbelievers. It's okay, you know, as long as I don't want, you know, to be stained by them. But it's very clear in the scripture. Come out from them and be separate. All right? Again, if your goal is to win them, if your goal is to bring them to Christ, then you invite them, but don't hang out longer. Because there is nothing between you and them that is in common. If you belong to God, you cannot be friends with the children of the wicked. Amen? So that's the first distinctive, all right? If you're rooted in Christ, you distance yourself, all right? Again, don't get me wrong. I am not saying when you're a Christian, you will cut your friendship with your non-Christian friends. That's not my point. My point is you don't spend so much time and all others with this because you know the consequence. You will soon become like them. You know, there's the common statement. Tell me who your friends are, and I will tell you who my friends are also. Okay, and then we will be sharing friends. Diba na mo? All right, let's go to the second. All right? The rooted person not only distance. So the rooted person does not do certain things. Here is the doing part. A rooted person delights in the word. All right? And this is the meat of the psalm. And I think this serves as the theme of the whole book of Psalm. That the whole book of Psalm is about David's delight. You know, Solomon's delight and all the other psalmists' delight where? In the word. Now, this is contrary to worldly people because worldly people, their delight is in the worldly things. Okay? Worldly yun. Mo na nga, kung nagani mga worldly things, unya suddenly it makes you alive, unya it becomes so natural, masyak jugo ana. Makana jugo nga, tuara ang tinood. Kaya kung sa church gani, makanta, maraghinom, kayo, ana, bugat, kayo erase ang hand. Di ba? Pero tuas karaokehan, hala, grabe, kayo, naka-enjoy, nakasayaw. Pero sa worship gani, murag lisod kay mo kanta. So see, now, you can't hide it. See? When you are in mga secular things, it makes you happy. But then when it comes to the Lord, murag, you have to drag yourself to the Lord. You have to force yourself. In fact, you have to force yourself to be awake because you're sleepy. But then, kung nag-watch ka kang movie, di siya ka matugoy, kay gibayaran ram din ako. See? I mean, the question is, where are you most happy, friend? See? Because a lot of us are simply trying to become Christians when we are not. Because your real Christianity tells where your real happiness is found. Are you really happy with the Lord? Are you really happy with His Word? Or you're happy with worldly things? Because the real rooted person is excited about God's things. You're excited about the Word. But if the Word makes you drowsy, in fact, makes you fall asleep, then you are in the wrong place. See? You're just wasting your time here. See? You don't gain anything. See? When you don't belong to God and you are forcing yourself to be in God's place, don't ever think that that will lead you to heaven. No. You're just fooling yourself, brethren. Because your real happiness will tell you where your heart will be. Amen? Now look at what the Bible says in verse 2. But his delight is where? In the law of the Lord. You see that? His delight is not with his friends. See? Remember the contrast. Blessed is the man who does not. See? He is not happy walking with the ungodly. He is not happy sitting with them, but his real happiness, his real joy, what gets him so excited is his delight in the law of the Lord. See? He's delighted. And that's, brethren, I tell you, that's one sign of a person that is coming to Christ. Your excitement with the Word. Because you don't have that before. See? The Word makes you bored before. But suddenly, there is that insatiable feeling that, you know, I want to know Him more. That's the delight, friends. His delight, His joy. So here we find three things. One, there is pleasure. See? There is pleasure involved. You're happy. So you have to ask yourself, what really makes me happy? Am I happy when I hear God's Word? Or I need Pastor Maki to tell more jokes to be more happy? You see, that's the problem. See? Fake Christians produce fake pastors. So pastors need to embellish their sermons with so much jokes, so much flashy, you know, visuals in order to entertain false Christians. But isn't that foolish? A false teacher trying to impress false believers. At the end, they all go to hell. It doesn't work. See? A real person, you don't need embellishment to your sermon because the Word of God speaks directly to your heart. Amen? See? But if you need more jokes, that's why, you know, if you ask, say, lesson ni Pastor ganina, lingaw jo ka ito about, it's the joke that remains. And we go back to our lesson a few Sundays ago. Remember, the soil that produce, they retain the Word. They produce. It's not the joke that changes your life, I tell you. All right? So don't look for more jokes from Pastor Maki. It doesn't change your life. It's the Word. Now, you ask yourself, will the Word of God bring pleasure to me? See? Because the psalmist is saying here, the person who is blessed by God is really enjoying the Word. His delight is in the law of the Lord. All right? Second, there is a process. All right? There is a process here. And what is this process? He's on His law. He meditates. That's the word. And by the way, why I call this process? Because the word meditates here in the Hebrew word is a verb. It is an imperfect tense. And remember, what is an imperfect tense? An imperfect tense is an action that is not yet finished. All right? The activity is not yet done. It is still ongoing. So what the psalmist is saying here is that a real born again, a real person that is rooted in Christ, enjoys God's word, that not only enjoys it, he does something about it. He meditates about it. All right? He meditates. And by the way, let me just give to you the meaning of the word. The word meditate here, haga, is the Hebrew word. Haga. It basically means, and this is something, it means to speak or to mutter, to think, to mull over. In other words, you are speaking to yourself. Mura kag nagyaw-yaw. All right? Now that tells us how we should meditate the word. Sometimes when we meditate, we're just in our minds, right? But here, the word haga means you verbalize it to yourself. All right? So the idea of meditating is you are reading God's word. So from your eyes, you look at the words. And as you look at the words, your brain processes the words. But then it's not yet meditating. You verbalize it to yourself. That's the word haga. You verbalize it. All right? No wonder the Bible tells us in Romans 10:17, faith comes from hearing. You see? You cannot hear if no one is verbalizing. So now, that tells us that when I read, I have to tell myself. See? I have to verbalize it. See? There is that speaking, you know, to yourself about the word until the word is what? It changes your mind. It changes your heart. It gives you, it opens doors. It makes you realize, so my habits were wrong. Ah, so this is bad. See, that's what the word does. It opens windows for you to see the glory of God. Amen? So there is pleasure involved. There is a process of meditating. And third, there is persistence. You don't just get to read and meditate if makahinumdum. Kinsa man nato ana, makahinumdum lang. All right? But notice what the Bible says. There is persistence. On his law, he meditates. Take note. Day and night. Now, be honest. How many of us fall on this? You know, ako po din fall ko. Day and night man. Murag day raman ako, Lord. You know? Okay? Because I read during the day. At night, I just pray. You know? But the Bible says day and night. You see? So, what's the wisdom there? Remember, Psalm chapter 1 is a wisdom psalm. It means that day, because it should be the start, it should prepare you for the day. But it should, the Word of God should also prepare you for the night. See? In other words, when we sleep with having the Word of God, you know, fresh in our minds, I think there's something there that will benefit the believer. See? Giving you rest. Giving you the ideas so that you will not be dreaming of the bag. You will not be dreaming of the shoes. You will not be dreaming of the car that you saw. But you will be dreaming the words of God. Amen? Isn't it amazing? Day and night, there is persistence. All right. The Bible says, Joshua 1:8. This is the parallel passage of Psalm chapter 1, verse 2. You know? And this is what the Bible says. Keep this book of the law always where? On your lips. See that? Meditate. So I thought meditating is just reading in your mind. Now, that changes. Because the Bible says, always on your lips. So that means when I read the word, I have to verbalize it. All right? Because when I just read it on my mind, the devil cannot hear. Cannot read your mind. But once you are saying it, the devil can hear. See? And that's where the devil trembles when Christians start to mumble God's word. That's where the devil trembles when Christians start to verbalize and memorize God's word. That trembles the devil. Because now, di na niya mailad. Di na niya ako mailad. See? Why? Because now, this person is not just reading it. He's memorizing it. So in other words, in our brain and in our mouth and in our heart, the word is active. See? And that is very powerful, brethren. Notice this. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. See that? So the goal is not simply meditating. The goal is obeying. Amen? A lot of Christians are not obeying because we are not reading. We are not meditating. See? The meditating is simply what the process. But the goal of God is that we may be careful to obey everything written in it. All right? So, again, what is the first distinctive of a rooted person in Christ? We distance from the wicked. We delight in the word. And third, the rooted person. We now come to verse 3. Depends on the word or the water. Now, what is the water there, Pastor? What's the significance? You know, so far I haven't explained to you the water area. You know, I've explained to you the soil, the seed, but not the water. No, saving the best for last. All right, what's the water there? Notice the verse again, verse 3. He is like a tree. So we go back to the metaphor. You see? This is where we started. Remember Jeremiah 17? You know, 5 to 8? He's like a tree planted. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers. Friends, this is encapsulated here, a description. This is the blessed man. This is the rooted person. Friends, we begin with the end in mind. And this month of January, this is what we want to accomplish as a church, as individual Christians. I want to be like that planted tree near the stream of water. Why? Because I want God to bless me with fruits in season. See? I'm always fresh because it says there, the leaf does not wither. Everything I do prospers. Isn't that what most people in the world today want? We want to prosper, but they do it in the wrong way. So how do they want to prosper this year? Og mamalit og mga bracelet, amulet, unsa pa? Mga good luck charm. Uy, mapalit taan ng cat nga magsigig ana-ana. That will bless our... Or mapalit taan ng mirror. Okay? Nga, di ba, unsa ito yung tawag na? Dangkwa or something? Brother Ted, what's the name of that? The Chinese thing? Pakwa? Whatever it is. Anyway, it's supposed to, the purpose supposedly is mupalit ka na January because it repels you from padlock, no? So magbutang din kasi mong door, ana, daw bi kayo musilingan, naghimo mapudako kayo sa iyang atbang. So gatabok-tabok ang badlak. Kaya yung badlak, yung ipasa sa imo niya, mas dako mang iya. Luoy ka. Kaya nang tanaw ko sa nus, dako matukayong iya. Ay, murag. See? I mean, that's what people do because we want to prosper. We buy things. We buy all these things. But you know what? That's not, see? We don't depend on luck. We don't depend on amulets. See? It is God that blesses. Amen? It is God that provides. It is God that gives you good health. It is God that will prosper your business. So we go back to God. We have to be rooted in God. Now, three things here, quickly. All right, number one, notice about the proximity. This is very important. What makes this tree, remember this tree is the person. What makes this tree productive, prosperous? First, all start with his proximity. What do you mean by proximity? Nearness. See that? He's like a tree planted where? By the streams of water. See? The nearness to the source. See? Unlike those vines, if you remember last year, those vines, you know, remember where was that in Italy? Those weird vines that, you know, even though they don't have good water system. But why are these vines thriving? Because these are very old vines and their roots are really going deep and deep. Now, that would take time for the roots to really go for the source. But this tree that we're talking about, see? It's like effortless because you are near the source. Brethren, don't go far away from God this year. Yeah. Make sure that your proximity, you are near to the very source. And brethren, where else can you be so close to God anywhere in the world? Anywhere in the world, when you are reading, meditating your Bibles, listen, you have a very close proximity with God Himself. Because God can never be separated with His Word. That's the key of David. That's the key, you know, of the apostles. Proximity to the Word. You know? But there, it says, but Pastor, it doesn't say Word. It says there, water. See? Now, what is that water? You know, this water is a supply. See? Remember in Jeremiah 17, he will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots. Take note. By the stream. See? So, David mentions it, Jeremiah mentions it, but still it remains a mystery. Is this water the Word? Well, there's a verse in the Bible that somehow water is connected with the Word. You know, particularly in Ephesians chapter 5, if you remember there, you know, husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, you know, washing her with water, which is the Word. All right? So water can be a symbol of the word, but there is another entity of the water that is being mentioned here. All right? This person is not afraid of heat. It's not afraid of drought. Why? Again, because of the proximity of this person. But the question is, what is this water that we should depend on? Now, the answer is found in John 7, 37 to 39. You know, Jesus said, this was during the heights of a certain festival, and Jesus, with all his voice, shouted, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink." There's proximity. See? You cannot drink if you're far. You have to be near. Come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, rivers of living water. Now, this is now the connection. Rivers of living water will flow from within him. And Jesus gave us the interpretation. By this, he meant the Spirit. Brethren, what does it take for a person to be rooted in Christ? We have to delight in his word, but we have to depend on the water, and the water is the Holy Spirit. See, that combination. Word alone will not benefit you if the Holy Spirit will not guide you. Because secular people, they also have the same Bible that we have. In fact, these Bibles are in hotels, motels, anywhere. But it takes the power. It takes the intervention of the Holy Spirit in our lives. See? That's why the Bible says, Paul says, Ephesians 5:18, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Holy Spirit, because it is the Holy Spirit that brings the Word of God to become alive in your life. Without the Spirit, they're just words. See? You don't understand them. It is the Holy Spirit. That is why the blessed person, the rooted person, not only delights in the Word, but depends on the water, who is the Holy Spirit. All right? And then the proximity will produce productivity. Notice this. Oh, wow. You know? How you love to see yourself like that. Amen? Thriving, flourishing, fruitful. That's a promise. The person who has close proximity with God through his Holy Spirit and the Word, notice this, yields its fruit in season. Take note. You don't need a kalboro. You don't need a spray, you know, to bear fruit. You bear fruit in season. Amen? Diba? Nindot maginang hinog sa panahon. Wala siya gipugos o pahinog. No? You are not being forced to produce fruit. In other words, this fruit is really the result of what? Your proximity, your time, your day and night spending time with the Word of God and the Spirit. All right? They still bear fruit in old age. Why? Because even in old age, you still delight in the Word. Amen? You still enjoy the water that comes from God. And then finally, here's the result. His proximity produces fruits, and then his life prospers, his prosperity. Notice the last part of the verse. Whatever he does, prospers. Now, friends, this is not a blanket authority that if you're a Christian, your business will lago, that your business will thrive. Pastor Christian, mako na bankrupt lagi ko, Pastor. Pastor Christian, mako pero kamay lagi akong sildo, Pastor. Baka kun man ang Bible. All right? Well, that verse doesn't mean that, you know, that your prosperity is just in the, you know, financial area. Because what it means to prosper, whatever he does prosper, it simply means that whatever you do, whatever is a circumstance, when you love the Lord and follow him, you are always at the center of his will. You are always prosperous in the Lord, even if you are not in the eyes of unbelievers. Because you know you are at the center of God's plan in your life. See? That's prosperity. Prosperity, brethren, simply means that the life, the journey, the direction you're heading is what God wants you to be. That's why whatever you do, it will really prosper. And that's the same thing with what God said to Joshua. See, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Now, the verse doesn't end there. You thought that verse 8 ends there? No. It doesn't end with you obeying. The blessing is on the last part of the verse. Then, notice the then, you will be prosperous and successful. Friends, obedience. See, once we obey God's word because we are enjoying it and we are filled with the Holy Spirit, then prosperity and success will come in our lives. Friends, those are the three distinctives of a person that is blessed, a person that is rooted in Christ. So, let me close our sermon and the month of January by quoting again our theme verse for the year, all right? And this time, I'd like to use the Living Bible so that we get, you know, a different perspective of the verse. It says here, now, just as you trusted Christ to save you. Now, how many of you here trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Raise your hand, please. Honestly, if you've trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you don't just end there. See that? Trust Him too for each day's problems. Live in vital union with Him. That's nice. Amen? I don't just trust Him so that I can go to heaven. Heaven is a nice place, but it's future. I need to trust Him for my daily bread, for my daily circumstances in my life. I need to have that living, vital union with Him. And then it says, let your roots grow down into Him. See that? And draw up nourishment for Him. That's amazing. From Him. See that you go on growing in the Lord. And you know what? Here's the result. So that you become strong and vigorous in the truth you were taught. Friends, that's my desire. That's my dream for you and for all of us. That we will continue to trust the Lord in every details of our lives. So that we will be rooted. So let's take this year, a rooting year, okay? Kung sa nursery pa, asa matakaroon nga year, Pastor? Gibutang ta dito sa rooting area. We need to be rooted because the result is that you become strong and vigorous in everything that you do. May God bless us all. Amen and amen.